Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 417. These are long days. I need Tim to come back. I'm exhausted by the end of the day on Wednesday.
And you have short weeks now, too. And this was an extra short week because you took off
Sunday. I did take off Sunday, but it was for Father's Day, so it's not like I was sitting at home on the sofa.
Well, you should have.
Yeah, you should
right,
have.
But I went to the in-laws to do Father's Day. We were sitting outside in the 85-degree temp, so it was pleasant. It was not work, but, yeah, I know. But it wasn't, I don't know if I'd call it a day off.
Would you rather spend it working?
No.
All right, then.
Yeah.
No, but it's not how I would choose to spend a day off, either. So.
Yet you did choose to spend it that way.
Well, yes and no.
Was a gun put to your
head? No.
Were you kidnapped? Did anyone put a gun to the dog's head?
No.
All right, then. So, it was your choice. Let's be honest.
Family related, so.
Oh, I get that.
So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
I'm guessing Mike just doesn't like us anymore.
Whatever.
I blame you, Colin.
Yeah.
I know he's moving Wednesday, so... So, let's see. News. DC didn't have a big bombshell on Friday, and their bombshell was last Tuesday,
They pulled a Warren Ellis story.
Yeah. But when they announced that we had to go through these other distributors to get the DC Direct stuff, we didn't realize quite what that meant. And so then it turned out, I think it was Thursday or Friday, we got an email informing us that the Todd McFarlane Batman Black and White, which was really the only big thing. I had three orders for it. We'd had to order it twice. We were all allocated. Luckily, I was allocated three that I needed for customers. But first it was $100, then they canceled that and re-solicited like $135. So I had to go and make sure everything was good with everybody, and they all still wanted it. And then we found out, like I said, I forget if it was Thursday or Friday, we got an email from DCBS informing us that we would not be getting any, that they were not getting any, and they would not be able to take any orders from it. Because basically they set up accounts for the DC Direct with DCBS and Midtown, but also Entertainment Earth and Sideshow to carry their statues and action figures. Well, it turns out Sideshow and Entertainment Earth got the entire allocation and put them up on their websites for sale to customers, allocating, not leaving none for stores, which I thought was just awesome. That was a great way to do it. So I will not be carrying any more DC statues or action figures because I can't, which is a really interesting way to go about it. So that's going to save me a lot of money and... I'm going to free up some space because they haven't, they've definitely slowed down the way they used to sell. But I just thought that was a really interesting way to go about it. So, yeehaw, which it leads to another problem, just everybody's concern about the discounts because it's based on our total DC order. And now we have to get graphic novels from Penguin Random House because two distributors have said they're only going to carry the top 100 graphic novels, and DC does a lot more than 100 graphic novels. So we were told to either do Penguin Random House or just do reorders through Amazon. So I thought that was awesome. Thanks. So my shelves are going to be thinning nicely. Just weird, because I'm like, I even emailed the one sales guy. I'm like, 100 graphic novels. Okay, Sandman is 10. I can come up with at least 40 Batman that I carry routinely. There's half your allocation. So what else, you know, that doesn't even cover your Rebirth stuff, you know, top 100. So where are you going with this? So I don't know what they're doing.
And like how many, like say, like, you know, they have like three different kind of like Watchmen you can get. Do each one of those take up another different?
Right. I don't know what they consider their top 100.
And it's what they consider their top 100. Now,
right. And it could also, so that means I can only get Sandman volumes 1, 2, 4, and 12. Yeah. Like at Barnes & Noble. You know, they only carry the top sellers. They don't carry everything. So,
yeah,
it's just a really weird decision. But, you know, I'm not going to jump through hoops to get this stuff. And, you know, just like I said to him, you know, it used just to be, oh, reorder, go to Diamond, reorder. Done. Now I have to, oh, go to, does Diamond have it? No. Oh, go to DCBS. No. Go to Midtown. No. Go to, you know, all of a sudden now I'm having to check four different sources to see if I can reorder something. It's just too much, you know, I don't have a purchasing department. And no comic book stores don't.
You can't afford me, so.
Right. But I'm just saying, we don't have somebody that could, that would be their job. You know, it's just adding more work to our thing. We're having a fun one today that they didn't think of and I didn't really dawn on me. I've had people coming in with the new previews wanting to order some of the new DC books they've been seeing, like the Death Metal. They're doing these one-shots, Speed Force. Josh Williamson is doing one. Yeah.
I can't order them
because they're nowhere to be ordered. I can't even put it in the computer because we don't have the information of the new DC stuff because they have to convert the PDF to data files because they won't send them any, like, CSV files or anything. They just said, here's the PDF.
PDF?
Yeah.
Ugh, I'd hate to do that.
Yeah, so they have to...
Because that thing is so, like, graphic heavy.
Yeah,
like,
but they have to go and like, pull all the data out of that. And there's no order numbers, they're nothing, so...
How does DCBS want you to order?
FOC. So the stuff in this previews, I'll be FOCing
in
August and September.
Yeah.
So that's when they'll have the files ready. So I can take no pre-orders. Or I can write it down in a notebook.
And forget it.
Yeah. Because one of the questions that they asked us on the Facebook group was how much time do we, in the way they kind of phrased it, was waste taking pre-orders. You know, how much time does your do your employees take entering pre-orders from people who bring in lists and things like that?
But that's
people,
not a waste.
Right, yeah. And people are like, well, it's not really, that's what I said, it's part of the job. But now you're making it hard because I can't enter it in the computer because you're not giving us the tools to do so. But it's also a case of they didn't think about it. That's not a concern to them. Here's your PDF. Here's the stuff coming. They moved on. And it's us up to us now to figure that stuff out.
At least if they gave it to you in, like,
just text
Excel,
form.
Well, no, or an Excel spreadsheet where you could go, okay, I got, you know, one request, two requests, three,
right.
You know, and just sum it out at the end.
Well, they said
there.
We can go ahead and print them out.
Right.
And like you said, it's all, you know, somebody's like, how much would this cost to print this out in color? You know, ridiculous amounts. So it's not going well so far.
Because I started to look at that thing, and it was really hard to read on my iPad.
Okay.
I had to, like, zoom in to, like, read the text.
But I don't think they care. So that's just frustrating on my end. It's just, you know, don't make my job harder or I'll make it a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, and just, oh, I guess I can't figure out how much to order of this. Zero seems like a fine number, you know. Like Mad Magazine, they're shipping issues 13 and 14 next week, and most stores aren't getting 13 because they canceled our orders through Diamond and never resolicited them through the new guys or through Diamond.
Didn't 14 come out last week?
I don't know. I'm getting next week.
Yeah, because I think 14's the issue of, what's his name, that just retired.
Oh, Al Jaffe.
Al Jaffe.
Okay.
It's like an Al Jaffe special edition.
Yeah, but see...
And I'm pretty sure it was digitally available.
Oh, probably. Probably.
Last week.
So just, don't know. Don't care. What are you doing, Marley?
Just browsing.
She was. She was looking at the cover. Yeah. That cover grabbed your attention? You like Power Rangers? You okay? Acting a little weird. So that's all the news I had.
They're bringing back, there's rumors that they're bringing back Milestone.
Mm.
So... That was from.
That'll be hard to order, though. So.
Yeah.
Warren. Lots of stuff going on. Warren Ellis got in trouble.
Yeah.
Charles Brownstein just had to resign from the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund over some allegations and stuff that apparently they had not covered up. Well, one they covered up because a girl working there was allowed to leave.
But she had to sign an NDA. She had an NDA,
yeah, and I know her. She's a sweetheart, so.
Well, but that's, I find it ironic that someone who's out there to promote the First Amendment would make people sign an NDA.
Yeah.
But whatever. No, yeah, well, apparently, like, something happened in 2002. The allegations came out, and he kind of said, hey, this is a one-time thing. I grew from it, and you know, it won't happen again.
Oops.
And then it came out that it wasn't a one-time thing. It was a one-time thing he got caught at that one time, and now other stories have come out.
Yeah, not good. Interesting times, that's for sure. But, yeah, just don't be a jerk.
It's hard for some of these people.
True. True.
It's hard for some people in general. You know, I mean, it doesn't excuse it, but that's why a lot of people seek power, is to be able to do things like that. So, you know.
Well, that's what happened with Ellis. They were saying that he was grooming these women. And if you want to make it, you have to, whatever.
Yeah.
And using his power for that. So that's a shame.
And like, I read his statement where he said, well, I didn't think I had that much power. I never considered myself to have that much power. It's like, dude, they're turning your stuff into movies. They're turning your stuff into, you know, major arcs. And you know, you knew. It's not like you went to a comic book convention and you only had one person standing in line. You knew you had a following.
So, blah. I think that's all I got. I can't remember anything else. It's blurring. I think this was San Diego's coming up, and they're doing some sort of online thing somebody was asking me about.
It's not really San Diego. It's just Comic-Con at home.
Right. Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah. But I guess...
And then DC's doing some fandom. I don't know what that is, but... don't care.
Be better if they did Thunderdome.
Ooh. I'd like to go in Thunderdome with some of DC people. Come on, Lee. Let's go.
Master Blaster. Yeah. Interesting times.
It is. So, yeah, if there's no more news... Brandon, you read anything? Wait, question. Hang on. We had questions. We had questions. It's from Ibti, so.
We have one question in 38 parts.
Four. Let me just make sure there's no others. Okay, Ibti has a question. Okay, did you do any home improvement projects around the house during lockdown? I did not.
No.
I washed the windows.
I had a fence installed. Just to keep the dog in the backyard.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I did some. I don't remember. I mean, I wasn't working at the time. And that's the problem is when I had the time to do something, I don't have any money. Or if I had the money to do what I want to do, I don't have the time to do it. And I don't pay people to do stuff around my house.
Dave, you do any home improvement projects?
Not really.
No?
My only project has been working on a puzzle.
Ah. Mm. Oh, that's really home improvement.
How many pieces?
1,000, I think.
Ooh, 50. Some of those wooden cutout ones are big burn.
They have like the little wooden handles on each piece.
Right, nice. It's the States. It's the States. He just can't get it. He doesn't know where that one goes.
It's still stumping me, though.
I don't know how Arkansas and Kansas are spelled the same, but they're totally different.
Okay, I can't answer this one. Better comedian Brian Regan or Jim Gaffigan?
Brian Regan.
Okay.
I'm a Jim Gaffigan fan.
Jim Gaffigan. Not only is Gaffigan hilarious, but he is, like, he doesn't curse. So, like, you could take your kids to see him. And
Brian Regan doesn't curse either.
Okay.
They're both very, like, dad jokey. I feel like... I prefer Brian Regan because I feel like Jim Gaffigan, like, a lot of what he does is just the talking to himself thing.
Okay.
Which, like, it gets old. But I like him on Sunday morning and stuff.
Yeah, I see him on there, but other than that, I don't really know. Have you discovered any new podcasts that you'd recommend? One I've been listening to a lot lately is the Office Ladies, which is Pam and Angela from The Office going through each episode and talking about behind the scenes and stuff like that. Then they have some of the, like, if the episode focuses on one of the characters, they'll have them on and talk to them. They have some of the directors have been on and stuff. I've been enjoying that one.
There's a similar one with the two guys from, or two of the guys from Sopranos.
Okay.
They're rewatching Sopranos and bringing in people. I can't remember what that's called. And I can't remember the name of the two guys. It's the, the guy who played Bobby.
I watched it a long time ago.
Yeah, I knew Bobby
Baklava and or whatever his name was, and then the cousin
Christopher.
Who was on the Office?
Mike Imperioli.
Yeah. Who played Christopher? Yeah. That was one I meant to rewatch. I just never got to it.
That's one that like it holds up, but it has some bad seasons.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's like season 3 or season 4, and there's like the one season where they're doing like a bunch of stuff with like Christopher Columbus.
Yeah,
like Columbus Day and like
that was a little
you got off track there.
Yeah, like I don't know if I ever watched the first season, but I watched a lot after that.
Yeah. And I guess someone tricked David Chase into revealing that he did get whacked at the end.
I think he had said that before.
Well, when he said it, like when I wrote the death scene, and then the interviewer said, "You know, you just said death scene," and then he off.
Right.
Yeah. But I honestly think the only reason they did it that way is because they wanted to leave it open for a movie. And then when James Gandolfini died, that got scrapped. So
now it's a prequel movie.
Yeah.
Could be, but it was also, it was his story, so that was the end of the show. Boom. So.
And also when Bobby got, him and Tony were talking about what they thought it was like when he got whacked, and that was exactly what Bobby said it would be like.
That's true.
Okay, and then Kaiju matchup round 5. Gigantic Josh versus Gigantic Pat. Who wins in finishing move? I'd say Pat wins because he'd play dirty.
Yep.
Dirtier than Josh.
Yep.
I would like to think, now I don't know what your finishing move, so you'll let us know, but I think Josh's big finishing move would be like the Hulk Hogan leg drop. I could see Josh, that being his move.
Yeah, I was honestly thinking about the Macho Man elbow drop.
Okay.
Because who doesn't want to do that and go, oh, yeah?
Yeah, but like you do the kick to the groin and then do that while he's still recovering.
Poking the eye.
Yeah, definitely thumb in the eye.
A little bit of sand in the eye.
Yeah, I definitely cheat. Although Giant Pat is still a hell of a lot smaller than Giant Josh.
True, but. So, those are the questions. Not a lot of comment questions there. Brandon!
Kaiju win kind of counts.
Okay, fair enough.
Comic book adjacent.
Fair enough. Adjacent.
I don't know when me and Josh are the two kaiju in question. It's really comic book adjacent.
But Brandon, you read anything?
Yeah.
I can see this guy read like 400 books, so.
Okay. Well,
I read 3.
Strange Adventures?
Yes.
Yes.
I read that.
Yes. That was really good.
It was like more a Mr. Terrific issue, but it was very good.
The art bounced back and forth when they kind of switched from Terrific
to Strange Focus.
Yeah. But that was, I'm trying to remember it, because that was the first thing I read, because I was excited for it.
It was Mr. Terrific
being quizzed the entire time.
Right, but he kept reading Strange's biography, and then he goes, he's lying. So Batman, at the beginning of the end of the first book, I think, Strange went to Batman to prove his innocence, and Batman went to Terrific to do the actual investigation because he knows he'd be biased.
So there's a lot of Terrific, and then the Adam Strange stuff was him on this mission, and where her thing conked out, and then his conked out, and
some desert Tatooine planet.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that's Rand.
I heard King talk in an interview where he said, like, the odd issues are going to be more Strange focused, and the even issues are going to be more Mr. Terrific like focused.
Oh, okay.
This one was pretty balanced, I thought.
Yeah.
Maybe there was maybe slightly more.
But, you know, King likes to do, like,
yeah,
things like that, you know?
And we did see Terrific Butt. Just saying, I thought DC put a kibosh on that kind of stuff.
This is a Black Label book. So,
so was the Batawang.
There's a difference between a butt and a Batawang. You could show butt on TV and NYPD Blue.
You can show Wang on TV, too.
Not on network TV.
Sounds like a title to me.
You can show Wang on TV? What the hell kind of books are you reading, Dave? Yeah.
Archie has changed.
See, I also read...
Scrooge.
It was an Image book, or Top Cow. A Man Among Me? I don't have a list in front of me.
I know, yeah, the pirate book.
The pirate one. I was a little disappointed by that. Because, I just got it because it was a pirate book. And there's not, they don't put out a lot of pirate books. But,
there not be enough.
Yeah. But, what's his name? It's not fictional. Or it's probably fictional, but it's based on real pirates. What's her name? Anne Bonny and Mary, whatever. There's like two famous female pirates that were with Calico Jack. In the show Black Sails has the two characters, so it's what's his name? But anyway, it's the two characters from Black Sails, and then. But the art is very, like, it's very, like, it's really clean. Like, it doesn't feel like if they're pirates, right? Because pirates are, like, you know,
grimy
stinky
and
dirty, and these ones aren't at all.
That was Sandy's whole problem with Game of Thrones. Like, it was their sex scene. She's like, they're so gross, I can't even think of doing, you know.
So.
Water's so gross. The hookers?
Yeah, just, I forget, it was in the first episode, and somebody's having sex. Like, they're just all dirty and scuzzy and yuck.
Yeah, but everybody is.
She understood that, but she just like, it's so gross.
Yeah. But yeah, in this one, it's those characters, and it's the other the female pirate. They take this ship, and Jack and the female Annie, I think her name was. they take this ship and they burn it down, but then there's a stowaway that looks like a young boy, and they throw him in the brig, and they're about to like beat him up, and she reveals that hey, he's actually a girl, so you know, it wasn't a lot there. What else did I read? I read Wind, I think is what it was called.
That was the new one
Wind
from Tinian.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah.
It looked interesting, but it also looked very, like, fantasy, in like, kind of cartoony kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cartoony fantasy. It's the main, I think it's is Wind the kid's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He, basically, he's this, I'm just going to call him an elf because he's got pointy ears. But
so did Spock.
Yeah.
He's not an elf.
So he's this elf that it seems like he can probably turn into a chimera, or at least something that looks like a chimera to me. You know, it's got like a lion's body, eagle's wings, and an eagle head.
Isn't that a manticore?
Or is it a griffin?
Hippogriff?
No, a hippogriff was, that's Harry Potter. Okay. That's like the horse eagle with the wings.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, you know, mashup animals. Because
a chimera has, like, two faces, I think.
Okay. A griffin?
That could be it, yeah.
Is it a griffin that has the lion?
It could be.
I think that is. Anyway,
I think it's the thing from Dark Ark. Grip, or Grawl, Krull.
Krull, the manticore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
what it is. But I thought a manticore had the stinger tail. I thought it was a lion with a scorpion tail.
So, obviously, people, we don't know our mythical creatures very well.
Anyway.
It's one of those.
Yeah, he has a dream that he can turn into one of those. And then he wakes up, and someone who you, like, infer that it's his, like, mother or sister or something, like, sends him to work. But he has to cover his ears. So we kind of learn through this bad guy who comes in to the restaurant that they are looking for. I think they call them weirds, mm-hmm, something like that. Mm-hmm. They're looking, like, the king is looking to stomp out, like, the weirds that have. So, like, it's clear that there's been some sort of probably a genocide of these, like, magical people. So, we kind of learn that he's got to stay in hiding.
Yeah, there's not supposed to be anybody.
They've
magical beings in the town.
No magical beings. And then they introduce another character who is. They introduce him. He's like jogging. He's like in jogging shorts, which is the weirdest thing. Because this is like a. They call it Pipe Town.
Pipe Town. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a town that's got lots of pipes. But anyway, he's jogging around.
Mario used to run around.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's a
it's the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, it's an homage. But anyway, this guy, he's jogging around. His dad is a gardener, so he comes back home and he's talking to his dad, and his dad is growing this plant that's actually illegal because it's got these like magical tomato fruits. It reminded me of a Little Shop of Horrors or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're very cute. They're very cartoony.
Audrey too.
So nice. Anyway, the shirtless guy. You remember his name?
I think it's Thorn.
Thorn.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gets called into the prince, and the prince wants to like share a secret with him, and I don't know. That's kind of, it's a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. I'm assuming these two are probably going to go on some adventure together or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I picked this up because it was Tinian, who's, like, he's killing it on Batman. The Who's Killing the Children series is really good that he's doing, but I don't know. This is tonally very different.
I like, though, I thought there was an underlying tension.
Yeah.
Even though it's a cartoony book. You can tell there's an underlying tension in the town.
Yeah.
Because it's a story about bigotry.
Yeah. But it's... I wouldn't say it's
gonna
bad,
something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. If I read this again, I'll read it in trade. Because I flew through that issue in like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's very big images, very, like, you know, the text is very, you know, just not a lot there. And so I just flew through this issue. And where the cliffhanger is, I almost feel like they needed that extra like 10 pages or whatever to set it up a little bit. It wasn't a good place to leave the cliffhanger because they just kind of introduced it. And you don't really know what the story's about. It was just world building.
I do agree with you there.
Next thing I read was Dark Knight's Metal or Death Metal.
Death Metal. Yeah.
Just
continuing the story from his Justice League run, where the hero's lost.
So, the thing that stuck out to me is, I had to look at the Zvrp page, like, 3 times to figure out that it was a chainsaw.
She turned
that motion, I thought she, like, pulled out a knife, or, like, it was like a... what do you call it? Like rock. Because
I think it was one of the promo images was her in the chainsaw, so I knew it was there.
Yeah, but no, it took me a second to go, oh, because like to me, the way that art was, it looked like she was like pulling a pull string or something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a, you know, the chainsaw motion to me. So
Damn it, Wonder Woman. Don't you know how to work a chainsaw?
Yeah.
She probably just doesn't have to pull it that hard to, like, you know, she's probably just,
But, I'm sorry, do we want to talk about the main story arc of the issue? But, I don't know. They seem to have killed the Batman who laughs.
Yeah.
So, that is very welcome to me, because I kind of
feel
like
but you know that's not it, though.
But there's a new breakout character. B-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't he another... Wasn't he in metal already? Just, like, as a background thing?
No, there was a cover of Batman riding a T-Rex, but there was never a talking T-Rex that
was
Batman.
Okay.
And I love the joke about, can you even throw a batarang?
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I don't particularly like that Bat Who Laughs character. I think
I think it's been overused.
Yeah, way
overused. A cool concept, but has been overused.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So, if this is the last we see of him, and you have to deal with the aftermath of his death.
It won't be the last we see.
That's that'll be welcome to me. But,
I enjoyed the first issue of Metal though too. So I enjoy what Scott Snyder does. I enjoy the ride, but he doesn't generally stick the landings very well, and that's my concern.
Because he never ends it. He's like, and then this, but this goes into this. So, like, nothing ever has, like, an actual ending to it. Like, it's just all one,
I mean, I think there are things he did very, like, the Court of Owls, I thought that worked very well.
Yeah, no, his run on Batman was...
Yeah.
It was really good.
But, his big grand scope things, they don't, they just keep on hopping to one thing, to another thing, to another thing.
Yeah. But I'm hopeful that this doesn't do that. I'm hoping that he has a true end in mind. I enjoyed the book. I'm curious about Sergeant Rock, though. Like, what the hell was he doing in there? And
Where's his bottom half?
Well, I think
it was more than his bottom half. It was like from like his chest down.
But I never thought I'd read Turb Burger in a comic book, and that was like half of his dialogue was an in-depth discussion of a turd and a turd burger.
Have you ever read Sergeant Rock? Because I haven't. Because I didn't know if that was, is that off character or like?
No,
I mean
he's a sergeant in the army, during World War II.
Okay,
it wasn't out of character or anything. Trying to rally his troops.
The guy from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
Arnie Hammer.
Yeah, I mean,
is that
right? But I mean, he wouldn't be like in the barracks yelling at people. He's out in the field, just trying to rally his troops, and that's all he was doing there was rallying. Come on, guys, we got to get to this. We got to take down the bad guys.
But his troops were Batman.
That's
who it was.
And then there's seemingly a Batman, Dr. Manhattan, alluded to. At least that's what I thought that Manhattan in Shadow was.
Well, and there's Wally West, who was talking to Wonder Woman about how Dr. Manhattan tried to set everything right, but that didn't work. Mm-hmm. Which, even though he's wearing the Dr. Manhattan emblem, that means he is still Wally West. He didn't become Dr. Manhattan when he sat on the Mobius chair at the end of Flash Forward.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was your favorite story of the year.
Yeah.
I read 1 and 6.
Yeah.
You didn't miss much.
Did you read that?
What?
Because you're
the Flash Forward?
The biggest Flash guy.
The Flash Forward thing?
I read Flash Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was okay. I mean, I really like the Wally West Flash, but I prefer Barry Allen. So to me, it's kind of like you take him or leave him.
I just feel like that particular title, if it was going to play into the bigger universe in such a way. Like, it should have been a more prominent book. And I just felt like that was just a Flash miniseries until that was revealed. Again, I didn't read it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. That if you're going to put something like that in it, maybe, you know, bump it up to be a top-tier type book.
Yeah,
and
give
it,
some,
and it never
give it,
was.
Give it some tie-ins.
Yeah.
Just that kind of thing, just so people, oh, you know.
Not have Scott Lodell write it.
Yeah, or that too.
Yeah.
But no, you're right though. That always felt like it was kind of a side thing, or you know, it was
it felt like a little end piece to like Heroes in Crisis.
Yes. And that's what I thought it was always supposed to be, just his kind of reckoning for what happened.
Well, like setting him up for like a redemption arc kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely not something where I go, oh, well, he's going to know everything now. I was waiting for him to say, you mean there's three Captain Colds? And then 10 years from now, we'll get the three Colds.
Spencer, what'd you read?
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 5. It's the last issue. Cool part about this is at the end of, like, the last issue, like, because, like, in the Power Rangers, they, at the end of the episode, they always make the monster that they fight, like, really big. So, since the Power Rangers didn't have their powers, the Turtles were in the suits and stuff, so they got to control the big, you know, Mechazord thing, fighting a giant Bebop and Rocksteady. And then, since Shredder has the power of the Green Ranger, he shows up with his, like, Dragon Zord thing and starts fighting him. But then, while they're doing that, the Power Rangers, they make a huge, metalhead. The metalhead, like, little robot, they made a huge one of that, so, like, they to team up and stuff. So now, they just have that chilling in the sewer now, I guess. But, yeah, it was just so you know they fought. Of course, you know by the end of it, you know Shredder and Rita they get away and stuff. But you know, leaving it open for another, series. But it's pretty good. I mean, I'm kind of kid of the '90s, so like you know I like both of these things growing up. So but it was nice, fun, just you know, bright art, good book. Then I'll go with Flash Annual Number 3. This is more of like a boomerang story. Because I forget how, but like I think in the Suicide Squad, they went and did something to like they went on a rescue mission to like get Boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
So this issue is, like, them, he's trying to hide him out in, like, an old rogue's head, you know, hideout. Well, like, isn't the Flash gonna look here? He's like, no, he'll never think to look here. And, like, not only does he come running in, but he comes, like, running in with, like, a burger and a drink, you know. But he's able to convince them, Barry is, he's willing to give Boomerang a chance because with him recently finding out all the stuff that happened to Captain Cold while he was in the Suicide Squad in the previous issues and how that has to deal a lot with the way that he is now, so he actually helps them escape onto this like a hidden ship out in the desert, but whenever they go to try to get there, Deathstroke shows up, and Boomerang stays back behind to fight him so everybody else can get out and, you know, and make it out. Before Deathstroke can kill him, the police show up and, you know, stop him. And Flash actually, when he's about to get arrested, runs by and grabs him and takes him away. At least that he's trying to give him a second chance and stuff like that. And, like, as soon as the Flash leaves, he gets a call from Captain Cole about doing a job. And, of course, he, you know, he takes it and, you know, so I think that's probably what's going into, you know, the issue of the Flash that came out today. Nightwing Annual number 3.
You read Nightwing?
Nightwing, I did. So this, the majority of this story took place before he got shot and lost his memory and stuff. Because, like, as we saw in a couple issues back, whenever he was fighting Talon to, you know, whenever he was under the mind control, and the, I think it's, like, the guy in the red outfit is, like, something red, like, nah, it's not really important. He flies down and helps him, but, so this, this story takes place before that, and the first time that they actually meet, when Nightwing's taking down a couple of these, like, guys in like, full, like, riot gear, they're, like, working for, Blockbuster, which I was really happy to see, because that's, like, an old-timey Nightwing villain that they haven't used a lot of recently. So, like, this guy, the Red, whatever his name is, his job is to, like, fly around and to, like, observe things and, you know, and stuff like that to, like, gather analysis for this, like the secret agency thing. But so he sees that Nightwing needs help, and he's able to convince his bosses to let him help. And they're able to stop him, but they let off this gas, and it's, like, poisoning Nightwing, so that he has to take him back to their base, and, like, they try to convince him, to come work with them. They could do a lot of good together, but he doesn't want to do that. But they do help him take out, Blockbuster, and then after that, it jumps to the present again, where they're watching the fight with Dick and the Talon on top of that bridge, and that's when they realize that that person's Nightwing, so I think they're also gonna kind of come in and help with, like, getting Nightwing's head back normal to where it is. That's about it. I read that Masks and Mobsters book that I got from you last week,
mm-hmm.
And it's just because it's, like, one of Joshua Williams' like first things. It was like a web comic, so, like, the issues are only, like, a couple pages long, but, like, a lot of the issues are done with the guy he did Nailbiter with.
Okay,
but it's just a cool, like, little, like, this mobster guy. Accidentally kills a superhero, so now all of the heroes are, like, cracking down on these mobsters, and it's just, like, how they're dealing with it and stuff. It's just, like, a neat little kind of, like, noir, black and white kind of thing. If you get a chance to check it out, I would recommend it. But, that's it.
Dave.
Read The Resistance, number 2. This is the AWA book by Straczynski.
How was that? That's, like, the only book I didn't get a chance to read.
I thought it was
reading.
Really, really good.
I wanted to, I just didn't get a chance to get to it yet.
I thought it was great. This is the book. There's been a plague, and hundreds of millions of people have died, and millions of people have gotten superpowers. This issue starts to introduce the cast. The people who are changing, and the governments of the world are trying to figure out how to deal with these people.
I think that's why I didn't read it so quick, because I was having trouble remembering what happened from the first issue, because it was literally the last week.
Yeah.
It came out the last week before the shutdown,
right.
So
yeah,
I was having a hard trouble. Like, wait, what happened?
I don't remember what happened in the first one either, but I don't remember it being as good as I don't remember it being as good as the second issue. They started introducing some of the characters. There's a boy who goes to a doctor, and he's able to read the mind of this doctor who's giving a seminar down the hall. And there's a Russian guy who has an unbreakable skin, and it was so readable. It just, like, turned.
But it has a really good creative team on it.
It might, the Deodato's art is fantastic, the way he draws characters. And there's a good, there's a sequence near the end of an abduction and a car chase, and it's just really great. Really looking forward to the next issue of that. And I did read Uncle Scrooge, number 56.
What?
Because it was fun to read. Months since an Uncle Scrooge issue, too. This one takes place, it's called The New Adventures of the McDuck Dynasty. They haven't used that one before.
Really?
I don't think they have.
Seems like a lazy one.
But this is a different kind of issue. It takes place in the future where the citizens of Duckburg have relocated to a floating island, a man-made floating island, and they're an island of thinkers and scholars, except for the descendant of Scrooge McDuck, who's the only one on the island who cares about money. He has a new tower, of course, for his money bin. And there's the descendants of Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie there also. And they get word that these people are coming to judge, they're going to give an award for the best scientific community. And, of course, they show up, and they look suspiciously like the Beagle Boys. The descendants of the Beagle Boys, who are only after Scrooge's money, or the descendants of Scrooge's money. So, next issue, it's going to continue. They're going to go, so in the next issue, they're going to go back to the mainland to see what happened to old Duckburg. So that will be interesting. And also read Family Tree, number 6.
Yeah, I read that too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's been a few months.
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of a new story arc, I think.
Yeah, you remember the father's name? Because I can't remember, but the father's been captured by
the hand keeps on calling him old man or whatever.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't have a first name yet, but he's been captured by this group who, they're trying to protect the earth from people who are turning into trees, because they, you know, they think, you know, man should take care, tame the earth and not nature overrun it. But it does start with a flashback of the father and his son.
Like whenever he first started turning
into a tree, takes them out to the, they're in a bar, and they go out in the alley, and he pulls up his shirt to show, you know, his stomach's turning into a tree bark. But all that's left of the son now is a hand.
Yeah.
Which can talk to his father, so.
Which is a good thing that he had a fake hand, because because the Scoop had him tied up because they wanted to get answers out of him.
Right.
But because
right.
he only had the one hand, they didn't do a good enough job tying the knot.
Yeah.
So he was able to slip out. And he literally punches like the old lady with the stub, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Right in the face. Yeah. And then,
it turns into like a weird, like, buddy cop movie or something. Because they get behind a car. They get into a car, and the father's driving, and the hand is sitting there, you know, talking to the father, you know, trying to get out of here. So, but it was really good. It was really good too. I enjoyed that too.
I say the last week we had that, and then we also had Gideon Falls that he did. But I'm not even going to try talking about Gideon Falls.
Yeah,
that, I mean, it's good, but it just gets too weird to try to figure out.
That's all I got, Pat.
Question, The Deaths of Vic Sage.
I read that.
Oh, you did read that.
I did.
I really enjoyed
Me
that.
Too.
Yeah.
So, you know, because again, this was a book that came out before the shutdown, so I was like, I don't know if I'm going to remember.
Before the end times.
You didn't have to remember what was going on. It was almost completely self-contained.
It's probably better that way.
Yeah.
Other than remember, like, they did enough flashback. Like with the Western
the
stuff,
cowboy guy
and the
priest at the end.
But it was like a 1940s detective story where, you know, the hot redhead comes in and, you know,
the
once
mall,
this,
yeah.
Yeah, once Vic defined, well, he was calling himself Charlie,
mm-hmm.
but once him to find her brother who's been trying to bring unions in, and it read very much like, you know, an old detective story, and, you know, of course, in the end, she ends up being the bad guy that does him in. So he wakes up and he goes, I know what I have to do now. So that's where we're going to get in the fourth issue. But the art was great in this.
I loved at the end it showed, like, the pencils and then Sienkiewicz's inks, just because
mm-hmm.
I love Sienkiewicz.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a book that I was looking forward to coming back, because I remember how much I enjoyed the other issues, but I was like, I might have to go back and reread the first two, but I didn't, and it just worked. And the other one I'll talk about is The Man Who Effed Up Time, number 3. This has been another, it's a fun book.
I read that too, Pat.
Oh, okay. So, what we found out in this issue was not, see, how do I say this? I'll sound like I'm Bill and Ted. Not the main character, but a previous version of the main character had gone back in time and saved Lincoln from being assassinated. And that pissed off Lincoln that someone was trying to kill him. So he became a dictator, and now we're like Abraham Lincoln the 7th or something like that. And then the main character has, he's branded a traitor, and he's meant to be killed. And at the very beginning of this issue, he gets killed. And then the future police show up and prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
And then he decides to take advantage of that, because they're like, well, no, we gave you 48 hours, you got 24 hours left to fix your mistake. So he's like, well, I guess I can't die for the next 24 hours because they'll keep saving me. So then he had them give him, it's like a super taser type weapon. So he has some weapon going around. It's a fun book, but it's
fun.
Almost like a Bill and Ted type ridiculousness of time travel.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun with these three characters. I mean, the one is the future version of himself stopped Lincoln from being assassinated. Is that right?
I think that's who it is.
Yeah.
It's, well, there's two.
And the,
there's multiple future
one,
versions of himself. One tells him to go and, like, place bets and all that.
Okay.
And then the second one tells him, no, you got to go back and stop that. But I think it's the first one that actually went back and saved Lincoln.
Yeah. I like John Layman's writing, too, from Chew in this, the third issue. This Chew Outer Darkness came out today. And he just knows how to write this fun stuff like that. It's really well done.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that good. It was really good.
Yeah, no, and that book is way better than it has any right to be. It should
yeah.
be just a
yeah,
stupid book, but it's actually a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's what I read, Colin.
Okay, we covered everything I read.
All right.
So I got nothing else to talk about. Everybody got every book?
Well,
I know some of you guys have been holding off on some stuff.
Well, then what's coming out next week?
Not a lot. Kind of an off week. There are a couple key books, though. So we have Billionaire Island number 2.
Yay.
Woo!
Very excited to see that coming back. We have The Boy's Dear Becky number 2.
Right.
I'm very excited to see that
coming
back.
See, there's some
good stuff
coming
out
this week.
Oh, there is. There is. There's really no Marvel and no DC, which is odd.
Can't find those stuff.
Yeah, Devil's Highway is a new one coming from Vault. They had one come out today, but it was weird. We only got cover B, so I'm hoping we get cover A and C still.
That's a vampire book?
I think so, yeah.
Bleak and Dry or something?
So, yeah. Firepower. This is one that was supposed to be a big Free Comic Book Day thing, where there was a Free Comic Book Day number 1, and then there was the, I think it was a prequel trade, was to come out on Wednesday. Well, since everything got messed up, the Free Comic Book Day version is coming out on Wednesday, along with the prequel trades. So that's all coming out. But that's new Kirkman and Chris Somney. Goddamned Virgin Brides is coming back. That's by Jason Aaron's.
Oh,
yeah, it's really? Like from 12 years ago. Finally coming back to that. I saw today the hardcover of the first thing came out. I'm like, why would I order a $50 hardcover of a book that nobody remembers?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, but it was long enough ago that nobody remembers. Killing Red Sonja 2, continuing our Mark Russell run. And then the big one that's coming out next week is Negan Lives. This is a surprise from Kirkman putting out. It's basically a little coda to The Walking Dead since Negan was kind of left. He didn't know what his fate was. So this is a little one-shot that they're doing for that. So that's pretty cool. And then, oh, another Mark Russell, regular Red Sonja is coming out. And that's about it. The problem with my invoice is now we do reorders a little different. I used to do them every week, and like the regular invoice would be kind of be interspersed with stuff that I just ordered for it to come whenever, or damage replacements, things like that. But also every week I would do I don't know what that was. Every week I would do a reorder that would come, and it would be in its own separate section of the invoice. But now everything's all mushed together. So it's funny looking through it going, wait, I already got this. Am I getting this week? What's going on with that? So, but that's about it. There are lots of stuff next week, but just it's a little thin because of no Marvel, because it's one of the last skip week for Marvel. But then DC, because of the way they did everything had to, they ended up with a skip week. Oh, it's fireworks. Because they decided to make the announcement of switching to the new distributors on a Friday and expected the orders to be required on Monday, the new distributors like, we can't sign everybody up and get all this done by Monday, and they needed an extra week, so they kicked everything. So that's why we're getting nothing next week, and then we'll get 2 weeks' worth the week after. Yay, team. So,
can't plan this stuff.
No, you can't plan this stuff. So that's what's.
So is that your first?
That'll be my first shipment the week after next from the new distributor. I used one for the first one because that was the one Stu told us to go with. Then he told us that the other one was a better one to go with. And so I went with that one for the second one just to kind of see who does a better job.
So does he have them like on the app and stuff?
Not yet. Because the current stuff was all done, he was able to use the Diamond data for it. The big problem is like their invoice; they have no invoice to import when we receive the stuff. It's just.
I would think that they, either one of those, would be racing to get that done.
Yes, I agree.
Whoever gets it first
gets in.
Get a slew of stores.
I agree.
Never switch back.
I agree 100%. But they don't seem all that interested. So I ordered once so far from each, so we'll see. You know, just compare shipping, how they arrive, how they're picked, what the shipping charges are. Like, I'm hearing the DCBS shipping is really, really well done, but also when you're, you know, bubble wrapping everything, that costs more, you know, and that takes up more space, and you're paying to ship, stuff like that. So we'll see how it all plays out. Yeehaw. So that's coming. June's been a really good month for me. Store's doing really well. I'm very happy. Just like a little bit. Last time I checked, I was down a little bit from last year, and based on what we've had so far, that's great. This was like my first really big normal invoice, and it was pretty much a normal Wednesday. So that made me happy. It was a pretty solid week of books. The one thing that confused
me... still felt like because there wasn't Marvel.
There was Marvel, but not a lot. We got Thor, we got Hulk.
Like Rescue 20.
Yeah,
like that.
Iron Man 2020 as well. But like, interestingly, there were no X-books this week. And I'm looking...
saving them all for that crossover.
Yeah, well, they're going to do 24. That is going to be really tough.
That's going to cause more people to drop than it will get.
Yeah. Like one book.
I was just thinking, if I have to pick up...
Yeah.
What is it? That's like $100 worth of books, right?
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Assuming they don't do like the $8.
I bet some of the specials are going to be more.
Yeah.
What's the matter, Marley?
So.
Is it running through all the titles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it? Is it like a 12 issue and then another 12 tie-ins? Or is it?
Hang on. It is going... There's a prelude in Excalibur 12, prelude in X-Men 12. Chapter 1 is X of Swords Creation, then X-Factor, Wolverine, X-Force, Marauders, Hellion, New Mutants, Cable, Excalibur, X-Men. Chapter 11 is X of Swords Stasis, number 1. Then X-Men, Marauders, Marauders, Excalibur, Wolverine, X-Force, Hellions, Cable, Excalibur, X-Men, and then wraps up with X of Swords Destruction.
So it's
literally going through every book.
Let's see, what's the chance if it's going to be like a couple pages at the end of the book? Like, you know, like the rest of the issue is normal.
Maybe. The other problem is, if it's not that, you're going to be reading Hellions, and all of a sudden this one issue is not going to make sense because it's tying in to everything, so it won't stand on its own. Yeah.
But the rare trick is getting all those like 22 issues out in order.
Well, and the, well, that and the other problem is I don't order the same for all those issues. So how do I order it? Yeah. And it looks like it's definitely going to be weekly and multiple.
And unless there's like a cover treatment that says like
chapter
one, chapter two, or whatever.
Like they used to do like in the 90s and stuff.
But if everything is just a normal issue with maybe just a banner on top, like, am I okay just reading the first and the last?
Right.
I mean, you probably...
those are the only ones that are swords of whatever.
Those are probably the only... I mean, you probably understand as much as if you read the whole thing.
No.
So. Yeah. I think it's going to do more harm than good. But my problem, like, so last week we had... It was an off skip week. This week, no X books. Next week is a skip week. It's like... And then I'm seeing the X-Men editor bragging about all the books he's reading. I'm like, how about you edit some? You know, no offense. Where are the books? You know, like I said to somebody else, I said, where's Cable 2? How long ago did Cable come out? It was like February.
And the other thing is, it's Marvel? That Cable could have just been a one-shot.
Yeah.
No one would notice. They put out a Cable 2, and people would be like, what?
Yeah.
You know.
Just chaos. So. Yeehaw. No book club yet. I'll figure that out when we can have maybe the end of July. I don't know when we're able to have groups. We're doing Vault this month because they've been a real good supporter of stores other than the snafu with this, what would you call it? Bleed Them Dry? Was that the name of it?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, I think that was more a dime because then they were supposed to ship us the other covers at no cost to us, and I have no shipping, no tracking information, so I don't know what's going on. But they've also been really helpful to us on the cost aspect. They made their books really cheap and returnable, so they're doing everything they can, and that's why I wanted to support them. So I think that's about it. Spencer.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See you.